time for the In the Conversation podcast with funny man Damian Lemon and the voice of your choice, Ali Muhammad.
This is Damian Lemon.
This is Ali Muhammad.
And this is In the Conversation,
the podcast.
Yeah. Back again. In your ear, crystal clear. Yes, sir. All of that. Black History Year, still thriving, still going. Muhammad, how you feeling?
Feeling good, man. You know, right around this time of the year, Black History, there's always a good resurgence of the I Love You Black Man. People keep sending me the new ones that people doing. So that's always interesting to check out to see your work live on in different forms and different ways to where people don't even know where it came from. They just be doing it, and people appreciate it still just the same. So that's some good shit. You know what I'm saying? Happy Black History Month to kick off Black History Year.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. Nice look. Yeah. Yeah, nice residuals. Residuals.
I wish it was some residual pay.
Exactly.
This internet residuals.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. That's what's up. Salute to all of y'all listening. You know, always good to have y'all in the conversation. I'm chilling, man. You know, you saying that, it kind of reminds me. Have you seen this the Sly Stone documentary that Questlove did?
Nah, not yet. I heard somebody talking about it this weekend.
Yeah.
What about it?
It just came out. Well, it just reminded me how you were talking about the I Love You Black Man, how every so often right around, you know, Black History Month, it'll pop up and, you know, like it's that's catalog. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. That's some shit. So it was just reminded me about the Sly Stone doc. I'm watching it. And I'll be honest with you. I knew who Sly Stone was. I'm familiar with, you know, the hits, Everyday People. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? There's a ride going on. I even had one of his album covers hung up in my wall because I just thought it was a dope-looking album cover. Mm-hmm. The Small Talk cover. It just looked like, you know, a little cool little black family and shit or whatever. But anyway, so I watched the shit, you know what I'm saying? And I'm just, so what I'm saying about that is I didn't realize, like, how many people had sampled them. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know how deep you are into his catalog like that, but I didn't realize the little Mama Said Knock You Out, I didn't realize that was fucking Sly and the Family Stone.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's just Sly and the Family Stone. And it's just, it's a quick chop. It's a super quick chop. It's all, I think it's called, what's it called? Trip to the Moon or something like that, but then like just, you know, just other, they were just playing other little flips of his shit that you like, wow, okay, yeah, a lot of people, you know, a lot of people sampled him. Unfortunately, I don't think he get none of that money though. I think he sold his shit off, you know what I'm saying, when he was on drugs or was going through it or whatever. But documentary is good. It's interesting. It's Sly Lives, but then like the subtitle is The Burden of Black Genius. And then there's a line between, like a line through the black genius. I don't really know what that was. You know what I'm saying? You know, it's whatever. But they got some good people, some real good people speaking in there. You know, it's good to hear and see D'Angelo speak at length. You know what I'm saying? I think that I think based on some of the stuff that Questlove said, I think that he was a big inspiration for doing this and an inspiration about this theory of black genius being a burden. And a lot of people, like when they get successful, black artists in particular, that they can sabotage themselves and shit like that. But, you know, he's in it. There's Q-Tip's in it. Andre 3000's in it, Vernon Reed's in it, Dream Hampton's in it. Like, it's a, you know, and then Sly Stone's kids, and more other people, too, that I'm probably forgetting about. You know, Larry Graham's in it, you know, people from the band. Sly, I don't know if Sly is in it. I'm not sure if he's in it, but it was like, It was one of them. It was like one of those damn near cradle to the grave kind of documentaries where even the way it went out, even on the last screen, you know he alive, but the way they do it, you just waiting for the like the little time stamp in this line died.
Damn.
Or something. Yeah, because that's how it goes out, kind of sad, but then it's still... And this is after the photos of him alive, looking good, looking like he living life. Mm-hmm. And they could have kind of cut it, but it still kind of went to like, it just, I was like, I don't know what choice that was, but it just, it felt like you was going to see that little fade in with the, you know, the birth and the death. But nah, right. Sly's still alive. But Sly lives, as the doc says, Sly lives. I thought it was good, you know, I thought it was a cool discussion about just success and dealing with certain things. And you know what I mean? Like it was cool. And to, again, like I said, I wasn't quite familiar with his catalog in the way of like, I wasn't, you know, like I, again, like it was just very surface level type shit, but it was just interesting. It was interesting just to kind of hear some of the stories. George Clinton was in it. It's good to see George Clinton like on the other side of addiction. You know what I'm saying? Like, you don't know, dead ass. You know what? D'Angelo made this point that I thought was kind of slick. He made a couple, like, interesting points, but he made this one point where he was just like, you know, a lot of the white rock and roll stars, he said, they do it well. They go out good. They be dying at home, you know what I'm saying, in their little tomato garden surrounded by family. He was like, we need that. That's how we gotta go out. Cause you know, motherfuckers be burnt out like a cigarette. You know what I'm saying? Down to the butt. You know what I'm saying?
The roach, nigga. They smoke that shit to the rich roach.
Exactly. To the super roach. You know what I mean? You know
what I'm saying? This ain't burning my fingers, nigga. I'm holding with my nails, nigga.
Exactly. Yeah. One of those. Yeah, real quick. We like, yo, what is this? It becomes weed chicken. It's like, yo, you gonna take it again? I ain't bet, nigga. Okay, you gonna take it again? Like, yeah, nigga, who gonna get the singe? But yeah, motherfuckers don't go out in a smooth manner. They go out haggard and twisted and, you know, been like off the radar for years. You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
Generalization, but yeah, you know, some especially if you could go out with money, you know what I'm saying? A lot of times,
right?
Those audiences still allow them burnt out stars to continue. You know what I'm saying? Still go right. See them, still pay them, still buy their stuff. Where they can still have money to finish living. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. When you burn through the money, and then your fans ain't really giving it back to you. Shit, what else you gonna do? Shit, I gotta figure out how the fuck I'm gonna go out. Well, we talk about some rock and rollers, nigga. Shit. You gotta start thinking about that shit, man.
Yeah, no, for sure. For
sure. Burn through this shit if you want to be 75 at, you know what I'm saying? Trying to figure it out. It's gonna be too late.
Yeah.
It's time to figure this shit out now.
Yeah, figure it out. I will say this. I mean, obviously, money helps a lot, but, you know, man, your health is a big deal. Like, your health, your mind state, you know, your physical health, you know, like, a lot of that, not a lot of that, that is quite important. You know what I'm saying?
It most definitely is.
Mm-hmm.
It's quite important to continue trying to get some money, too.
No, for sure, but I mean,
it's important to be healthy. That's what I'm saying. It makes it easier. The health part makes it better for you to go ahead and get your shit together.
Right, right.
So you're going to need both.
And I think it also makes the money come a little better. There's a point in when you see an artist approach the stage, and that they approach the stage like they beaten down. Mm-hmm. It's like, then they need that money. We go, oh, shit, they need that money. But then they could still need the money either way. But if you see somebody approach the stage with some vigor, look like they've been eating good, you know what I'm saying, doing push-ups, drinking good water, you know what I'm saying, moisturized, you know what I'm saying, lips not chapped, eyes is not glassy, you like, damn, they doing all right. They doing all right. And the report back probably leads to even more money, you know, because people do, is a part of it. You still want to, you know, your heroes are a reflection of you. You know what I'm saying? So you still want your heroes looking heroic. You know what I'm saying? Like I always, no, it's true. I always use and I will talk about this in a little bit, but I always use the example of when I watched the All-Star game, Dr. J always looked like he thriving. Like, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? Like he looked like he might be able to, he ain't going to be able to go up and down the court too crazy.
He'll dunk it if you pass it to him on an open fast break.
Yeah, he'll dunk on your ass. And he might pull up on your moms. You know what I'm saying?
Your mom's gonna pull up on him.
Exactly. Exactly. And not all of them look like that. Some motherfuckers be broken down like they played running back in the NBA. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, damn, son, what was you doing? Yeah, man. But
see, Dr. J from that era where niggas played basketball one season a year. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Now basketball is all year round. You know what I'm saying? Niggas got to play four games a day at AAU. You know, play for the school, then play, go to practice, after practice, to play for practice for your AAU, then hit the road. And they be running more games and before 18 than niggas did half their career.
Yeah, I guess so. I didn't even think about the AAU track. Yeah, that's true, though. And I feel like so many kids is in AAU.
That's why niggas be, them young rookies still be getting hurt so much. They already got miles.
That's a good point. Yeah, that's a good point. But then that's also back in the days when, you know, basketball players actually still had jobs. You know, they playing in the league, but the motherfucker might go work at Ford. You know,
you gotta go to work, nigga, with your Converse on, play hoop in the back of the factory and shit with Larry Bird.
Right. Mm-hmm, exactly. Exactly. Got two jobs, work in the league. You know what I mean? Got a job playing ball. That shit ain't even respected like your real job. You know what I mean? Yeah, that's cool.
When you gonna get a real job? Nigga, right. I'm a pro. I'm an NBA player.
Exactly, whatever. That's why them young kids be disrespectful when they call it. It was like, Jordan played a bunch of plumbers. You ever hear that's this slander? Yo, they be hitting this with so much slander, it's crazy. Jordan played a bunch of plumbers and all types of other shit. I was like, yo, that's crazy. But, yeah, man.
What'd you think of this All-Star game?
You know, it's interesting. At first, There's a lot. I'll say this. It was better than it looked. It was better than it appeared. And I'm going to say why. First of all, it was interesting. I was watching it on Max, right? It was streaming on Max. I want to talk about that too, how like linear TV's coming to streaming and they fucking up cable TV. Cable TV should never have commercial breaks. It's just like, why the fuck am I paying for this for you to still put a commercial break in here? But again, we'll get into that in a second. that's a whole nother conversation. I do want to talk about that. But anyway, I was watching it and they were talking. I think it was Vince Carter, Draymond Green, and damn, I can't remember the other cat. But they were sitting around, they was like analyzing it or whatever, and Draymond kept it funky. And he made a point, which was interesting. He was like, look, I don't like how this new little tournament thing that they doing where it's first to 40, it's ridiculous. People used to play just to get to the All-Star game and they wanted to get in the, you know, in the history books for like having a high score. They wanted to, you know, get 40 or 50 in the All-Star game or some Kobe Bryant shit or whomever. And now we playing the 40 and it's just like Wembanyama, he only played 8 minutes because he got eliminated quick. He was the youngest All-Star game rookie, I believe, ever or whatever. But it's just like, and he only played for a second. You know what I mean? He did play long enough for Kyrie to cross the shit out of him, which was crazy. I don't know if you saw that.
I bet Kyrie do Kyrie.
Man, Kyrie was getting busy. Kyrie was getting... Okay, so this is the thing. I heard that sentiment, and I was like, damn, that's an interesting point. I didn't even think about that. I didn't think about the, you know, just the personal record shit about the All-Star game. You know, everybody's like, it ain't been competitive in years and all this other shit. I will say that having them play up to 40, the games were short, but the games were competitive. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, they motherfuckers was playing a little bit of defense. People was going crazy. They was going hard. There was points where it was like the Rising Stars versus like the OGs. And the Rising Stars was kind of in the game for a good portion of the game until the OGs had to turn up. And, you know, Kyrie had to cross the shit out of fucking Wembanyama. And when you a long, tall, lanky 7'5", nigga, yes, when your ankles get broke, you look like one of those car dealer balloons. Yeah,
balloons, air dancers.
Absolutely. That nigga broke his whole shit. That nigga... Yeah, I don't think he caught the lay, but the whole shit was, it was nasty. That was funny. Trey on another level, Trey Young, who I felt like had a bit of a chip on his shoulder because mm-hmm. he initially wasn't picked. He was dancing on a couple people too. He did this one thing where he threw the ball off of Kyrie back and then threw the shit between Steph Curry legs. And, you know what I mean? I was like, okay, I like this type of shit. I like that. You know, I like what motherfuckers playing when they playing to like fuck that. I'm about to call LeBron Obama. He damn near the same guy. But LeBron didn't even play. That was kind of whack. But I mean, it is what it is. Is Luka hurt? Where's Luka at?
I think he might be tenderized too.
Okay, because Luka wasn't nowhere to be seen. I'm like, where's Luka at?
Luka and LeBron need to be going over them plays, man. They ain't got time.
Yeah,
for this
for
shit.
Sure, for sure. This is, you know, they ain't got a whole lot of time on the clock. But I'll say all this. It felt like an afterthought. It just felt like. It didn't feel as special as it usually did. The crowd didn't feel as invested. Kevin Hart was hosting. Somebody said Kevin Hart kind of treated it like the Tom Brady roast. You know what I'm saying? Like, he was killing my man Shay, you know, the cat from
Thunders.
Oklahoma. Yeah. He was killing him, breaking on his sneakers and shit like that, like in the middle of the game. Like, it felt kind of Rucker Parkish. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? When they used to have my man, what was my man's name? Hannibal? I forget my man's name, but my man that used to do the color commentary, he's talking over the game like a mixtape. You know what mm-hmm. I'm saying? So it was just a lot of that shit. It kind of was, it was interesting. I didn't see the skills shit. I was out. I was working, and I had no desire to see the skills shit when I heard who was in it. Heard McClung.
Yeah.
I tell you this. This is another. This is a testament. I had a friend of mine. He was out there, and I believe they had tickets to the All Star game. They skipped that shit and kicked it. In Oakland. Like, I mean, that says a lot.
I can understand that.
I mean, this year I could understand that, but, like, not traditionally. I got tickets to the All-Star game. I'm going to the fucking All-Star game. That's the All-Star game.
But, you know what I'm saying? But you might skip some of the others. Like, when I went in Cleveland, I broke out, you know what I'm saying, at the top of the dunk contest, you know what I'm saying, to go kick it.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying? That shit don't. I mean, you know. I think this particular. Go ahead. You saying the game? I know what you saying. The game.
Yeah,
I was just saying the other shit.
Yeah.
And usually you would go to the game, but
mm-hmm, for sure,
it just felt like TNT was kind of giving a little last. You know what I'm saying? This our last All Star, so we gonna go out with a bang.
Right.
Tried a bunch of different shit. You know, I don't think that's how it's gonna stay once it get to a new network. Once we get to a new network, they're going to be trying to figure out how to make it legit.
Yeah. Yeah, I hope so. Is it that? I don't like the little, what did you think of the playoff tournament style?
You know, it felt like they just wanted more people in it. You know what I'm saying? They wanted more names. You know what I'm saying? Felt like a medley. You know what I mean? We're going to put all these features on this bitch. so you, everybody could bring their fans. And mm-hmm. it didn't feel like they really invested in, like Draymond said, they it didn't feel like they invested in the players who really, mm-hmm. you know, stood out this year that the people really wanted to see. And then you put those, whatever, however many niggas that is, 24 niggas on the court, period. Everybody else go home for the weekend, chill.
Right. Then they play the sideline.
Yeah, they set it up to where, you know, more people would be involved. It just didn't make for great TV.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? To see a bunch of YMCA games. You know what mm-hmm. I'm saying? And that's how it felt. Felt like niggas was just at the gym fucking around. You know, and they be fucking around the All-Star, but that shit do get serious in the second half. mm-hmm. That shit start coming down to the last quarter. Niggas start trying to win. But, but you know, all this stuff just felt like a bunch of games. You know what I'm saying? And I hope they do something different next year, but I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah. I think we had maybe said this before, but I was hoping that this new generation, people like Ja, Ant Edwards and shit like that, would be more reinvested in it. Like, not reinvested, but like they would participate in the dunk contest. Like, bring some of that energy, because you know, that energy ain't been there for a while. And I think some of the OGs, you know, a lot of them feel like, you know, a lot of them feel like they got like portfolios to protect. You know what I'm saying?
No
like,
doubt.
They don't want to, you know, and I think that hopefully, you know, there's just a little bit of time before you go from new and excited to jaded.
Unk.
Yeah, not even unk. You still be young, but you jaded and you like, you know, like you concerned about all of this other stuff instead of the excitement of the game.
But
you know what I mean?
No,
like,
there's no room for it though. From the LeBron era, right? Let's say the last other just be your own motherfucking self was Allen Iverson, nigga. And they mm-hmm. tried to run that nigga to Turkey. You know what I'm saying? They ran him out the league. And then LeBron came right at the tail end of that. He had to do that shit official. You know what I'm saying? He had to be official like a whistle from day one. Say all the right shits in the press conference. It became a media thing. You know what I'm saying? And we complain now about how, you know, cats can't really get loose, beat themselves, da da da. They not invested in this shit. Yeah, they got a lot of protect, because as soon as they fuck up, it's over. The media gonna crucify them. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, niggas is playing it close and trying to, you know what I mean? This one weekend, I'm gonna run my whole shit just for this one weekend? I don't think so. You know what I'm saying? They not giving enough latitude for niggas to actually come in and lose and embarrass themselves or whatever. None of that, because it's everything so fucking serious. You know what I'm saying? It's less like, it's just like with Anthony Edwards. Everybody, they keep asking him, you know what I'm saying? Do you want to be the face of the league? That one never a question. They never asked Jordan, did he want to be the face of the league? He just played, and then all of a sudden, that's what it became. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't like, I never heard that question before this era. Like,
yeah,
do you want to be the face of the league? Nobody ever chose to be the face of the league. It's like the league kind of took who was balling and doing their thing, and they had a lot of endorsements, and then they became the face. That's how it felt. But now it's like you got to choose to be the face of the league, and then that means you got to be all under control, and you got to do it a certain way, and you got to speak a certain way. You can't curse. You can't. You know what I'm saying? It's like you got to represent the corporate brand, but it ain't the brand of basketball that got you where you was at. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So niggas is like, people were coming at Ant like, why wouldn't he want to be the face of the league? Why he stepping back? What's wrong with him? It's like nigga, who going to sign up for that? You know what I'm saying? And I'm just trying to play some ball and win. I got to get my shit up before even that's a conversation. But niggas is so in a hurry to get a new face of the league, because all of the ones that were, they getting old and they riding out. And it's going to be over. It's going to be over for Curry, LeBron, and all them. It's Draymond, Clay, Kyrie. It's going to be over. But the face will bring its own self up when it's time. You know what I'm saying? When niggas start winning and niggas start kicking ass, then everybody gonna want to see him. They gonna be the face automatically. You ain't even had to ask that nigga.
My thing is, I think there's a difference between, you know, being corporate and all of that, and, you know what I'm saying, trying to stay within the margins or whatever, being the face of the league, and then, or just being flat out competitive, right? Just being sensational, being the motherfucker that's the highlight, like oh shit, you know? And I think that, you know, I had to, you know what I mean? Like, you know, like, I think that all it takes is one or two people to just go for theirs. It'll make it, it'll show, oh shit, now this shit is exciting again. Like, all it takes is one motherfucker that is like that to get love for going all out and doing what you do anyway, damn near in game, and you just get busy one time.
You don't think Jalen Brunson, Ja Morant, Anthony Edwards, that shy in the Thunder, you don't think they going for broke?
I'm not talking about during the season or the play. I'm talking about the All-Star weekend. I'm talking about the dunk contest. I'm talking about when the shit was exciting. When it was exciting. I think cats are scared. I think cats are scared because there are cats like whatever, McClung or what, my man, Aaron Gordon or Zach LaVine, these cats that are not super marquee players that come up with these crazy dunks that could body you. You know what I'm saying? And then that's what I think. Motherfuckers don't want to have to deal with that. And it's like, dog, you work within, you are in basketball where you win and lose every night.
But
you know what I'm saying? Like, go ahead.
Just think about as a basketball player. You know what I'm saying? Some niggas didn't come up just, let me think of the new dunk. Let me just go dunk and try to figure out the fly way to do this shit. Most niggas is working on how to beat your ass to the rim and how to fucking win 5-on-5, not 1-on-1. So, like, these niggas been, see, the difference with this particular era of kids, man, that's playing ball, they been trained. You know what I'm saying? From, they was doing NFL drills, NBA drills when they was little people. You know what I'm saying? They weren't just freestyling out on the park. Like, Anthony Edwards probably ain't had no real unstructured ass basketball experience after about the fifth grade, man. You know what I'm saying? He probably went straight into AAU traveling. They not at home just fucking around on the rim on the park no more like them kids was in the 80s. It ain't like that no more. So they trained to do their job, not to play these games in fucking All-Star weekend. Now they probably should because they rich. They don't give a fuck. I don't need an extra $100,000 to go out there and might get hurt trying to do a fucking dunk.
Yeah, see, and that's what a lot of people have been saying. You know, the money is, it's like money is not even alluring anymore. Like, it's not something, it's not incentive at all, right? But that, I'm trying to get past the point of money because they damn near, if you like that, if you're in that tier, y'all all got bread. Y'all all got your own sneakers. Everybody is doing good. It's great, actually. But on the competitive level, you mean to tell me, okay, maybe Anthony Edwards was super controlled environment, fundamentals, and not no real on the court type shit.
No, but on the court, in a structured basketball way.
In a structured basketball way. Okay, but I look at people like Zion, especially early Zion. I look at Ja Morant. Mm-hmm. I can't really. I even look at Anthony Edwards the way. I mean, he dunking on people, but
he ain't doing no creative.
He ain't doing. Nah, they not. He like doing I said,
some
they
aggressive
not doing,
basketball shit.
Of course, and that's what I said. They not Zach LaVine or Aaron Gordon or any of these through the. You know what I mean? Over the Kia, you know, Blake Griffin type motherfuckers, but they bring a profile to it because if we keep it a buck, and I mean that's 30 years ago, damn near. Jordan and Dominique wasn't doing the most outrageous dunks, but I think beyond the fact that, you know, what they did was what they did, it was also the spirit of competition between who gonna get it this time. You know what I mean? Like, you got these people. I just sent you the video. I don't know if you saw the video where Anthony Edwards told Obama, nigga, you need to stand down. You know what I'm saying? Like, when you got that type of fucking ego and you feel yourself, that type of confidence, you know what I'm saying? Like, yes, put that shit on the line. Like, let's
get... But he doing that shit every night, though.
Yeah, but I mean, this is the All-Star weekend. This is when it, like, not to say it always matters, but this is when everybody is in the building. Like, let's capitalize off this energy. Like, that's all I'm saying. I think there's this, it's like people have kind of just said, it is what it is. And it's been like this, for at least 5 to 10 years. Where at first, people were scratching their heads, like, yo, why the best of the best not competing in this? And then it was like, well, you know, they got money, and they're trying to stay healthy, and since that, the other thing. And then it just was like, people just kind of, it's like the status quo. Okay, bet. And right. The shit is neglected. Like, this is the first year. No, it ain't the first year. Probably the third year where I definitely didn't see the dunk contest live. And this is the first year I haven't even, like, searched to see the highlights at all. Like, I could care less. Like, it used to never be like that. It used to never be like that. Like, at the three-point contest, I catch that. And I used to love to see that, too. But, like, there was no way I'm trying to miss the slam dunk contest. Wow. Like, that shit was a moment. Like, that shit was a moment. Right. And it's like, it's not there no more. It's not there no more. And it's not like we don't got the talent.
No, look at the evolution.
Because everybody's shooting threes and all of that?
No, not even everybody's shooting threes. Evolution of the dunk contest. Like you said, when Jordan was doing it, shit. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? You come from a free throw line. You might do a couple windmills and some, you know what I'm saying? That was what it was. Now niggas is doing all kind of shit, trumping over shit and blowing.
Right.
I mean, just all kind of props. It's a lot of thought that go into that shit. And if you're not vested in that type of activity, I'm going to practice the freshest dunk to do. Why would you even think about that shit?
That's my point. I feel like you could do it. I think that's why I said there's that time between when you still like young and excited, and then you become older and jaded. You know what I'm saying? And them vets, they jaded. There's no real incentive. Like, some of these cats, maybe like early on rookie contract, or like they just heating up. Anthony Edwards is still promoting his first sneaker. He didn't even get to the second one. And he's been doing a great job on the rollout. I ain't never seen a motherfucker promote one iteration of a sneaker for so long. And I'm not mad at it. He's building hype and anticipation. But shit, that shit would just go well. That shit would look, it would just bring some, and I'm a casual, but it would bring, I'd be like, yo, this shit crazy. Like, I would love to see Ja, Zion, and you know what I'm saying? Like, just let's get it. Let's get it one time for the culture, as they say. Not for the suits, not for the C-suites, not for the endorsements. Do that shit for real deal bragging rights. You know what I'm saying? Do that shit for real deal bragging rights.
That's the part that I'm talking about. I don't think the bragging rights is there. Like, when the bragging rights been on the dunk contest?
You said since when?
Yeah, like the last time niggas was like, oh, yeah.
It's been a long time. It's been a long time.
And it was a different style of dunking. It wasn't like that old, you know what I'm saying, the new era type dunking. It was different. You know what I'm saying?
I think the last dunk contest that like shook the game up was Vince Carter. I think that was the last one when he put his whole arm in the ring. And it's like, that's the thing about the dunk contest too. It's like, we could say going up to it year after year after year, I know we felt like we seen everything. And then when Vince Carter did that shit, and it wasn't, he ain't jump over no car. He didn't jump over Shaq holding three babies or nothing like that. He just dunked and fucking put his whole arm in that shit. And I was like, yo, what the fuck is that? Dog, that's what I'm saying. Like, you never know. That's like, we just got done talking about the burden of black genius. Like, you got all these black genius fucking basketball players. Dude, they motherfuckers might have some shit. Ja Morant might have some shit for a nigga. Where it's like, oh, shit. Like, I don't know, man. I just don't want to. I don't know, man. I feel like it's, I don't know, man. Maybe I'm pushing it. I would like to see that shit. I feel like it's easy to say that what they got to win from this, what they got to gain. It's sometimes it's not about what you could gain. It's not the incentive. It's just what it could do impact culturally. Right. You know what I'm saying? But sometimes you can't even quantify it.
There's no incentive for that. For this. It's an incentive versus the goddamn real life. Like, what's the incentive? Like, even the battles of who the GOAT, they ain't talking about no goddamn dunk contest. They're talking about these games and these championships. So,
but even, go ahead.
The attention is not there. It's not on the fun right now. They have to figure out a way to bring the attention to something that they could do at the All-Star weekend, and it might not be the same shit.
Maybe not. What you think about, okay, did you see some of the unrivaled WNBA players going one-on-one with each other?
On the internet, I didn't watch it live.
I saw the Skylar Diggins joint. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And I was talking to one of my homies, talking to Chris Lambert, and I was just like, you know, Skylar Diggins was like one of the first, not the first, but like one of the like more popular women's basketball players where people were like, yo, who that? Yo, she look good. Like, it was kind of like objectified, like, damn, yo, she look good as hell. I think did she play for Notre Dame or something like that? I forget where she played, but like even back when she was in college, people were like, yo, she bad as shit, you know? And it almost, the conversation about how she looked kind of outshined the fact of, you know, she could ball, right? Mm-hmm. So when I saw this one-on-one with her versus, I forget who the other woman was, she was kind of busting her ass. You know what I'm saying? Like, it was, I would say it wasn't competitive, but she was shining. She was getting off. Mm-hmm. And it reminded me, oh yeah, she's nice. You know what I'm saying? Like, let's not get it fucked up. She's in the league. I mean, she's been in the league for a long time, but like, she's nice still. And sometimes it's just a reminder, just that context, because it's only one-on-one. It's just you versus this person. It's not team ball. It's not, you know, we passing it to this person. Oh, that was whatever. It was you versus her. You're going to have to get in your bag, and it's a different game, and you're going to have to show why you are better than the person in front of you. Mm-hmm. And that shit made me like, yo. It made me think, maybe say Skylar Diggins' name again in like mad long. You know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? And maybe, you know, so then that conversation came up. I think Rachel Nichols was asking a bunch of the NBA players, asked Ant Edwards, asked Kyrie, asked Giannis, yo, would you do it? They was all like, yeah, I'd do it. Fuck it, you know, we do it. We'll see if they do it. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But maybe that be it. Maybe that's something. You know what I mean? I just feel like this is the thing. Man, basketball particularly is like, let's not totally corporatize and sanitize the fucking game of basketball. Like, I know this is the pro level and all of that, but like, there is still a ground, it's still the space for extreme competition, top level shit talk. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is what was exciting about it. I do not want to see a bunch of 401k ass motherfuckers just going up and down the court protecting their investments, doing all of this load management and playing shit safe and managing their, you know what I mean? Like, it's kind of like, damn, dog, like this thing, you gonna throw this shit might as well be fucking baseball.
Man, listen.
If I'm gonna yawn on this shit.
Man, listen. You talking about problems that ain't just start today. You know what I'm saying?
I know, I'm just saying.
This ain't like, it ain't like niggas that's out there don't wanna be doing all the shit and talking shit. But those the type niggas that don't make it. These the type niggas they don't recruit. They don't recruit from the regular high schools no more. They recruiting from the prep schools and the private schools and the Catholic schools that train niggas for D1. And D1 come get them, and they train their ass to play within the system. You know what I'm saying? It's new rules, man. So look at the league. You got a bunch of people who just been trained like a motherfucker. They good as fuck. You know what I'm saying? They been trained, but they not just raw. Because the niggas that's raw, they not in that recruiting space. You know what I'm saying? So a lot of them don't make it all the way. And maybe a few get through. But over the last 20 years, nigga, it's been that way. So this is what you looking at. You looking at the results of that shit. So for me, it starts all the way back at how they recruit for high school. You know what I'm saying? And how colleges recruit from high schools. They skipping over a lot of these places, man, especially in basketball. And football is not as easy to skip over some of these public school players. You know what I'm saying? But in basketball, there's a system. And I only know it because my son played basketball and was on the AAU track and all that shit. Man, to get on the corporate AAU team, nigga, that's the Nike team and the Elite and the Under Armour team and the team that's sponsored by Under Armour or Nike, you got to be a certain kind of player. And you might come from the hood, but they finna train all that shit out you. You know what I'm saying? You're going to be a stand-up human being and go to D1 and play that shit how they want to play it. And then the league going to come get you from there, and then you already a player that's moldable and ready to be coached and all that type shit. They not looking for no headaches, man. But they might need some headaches.
Yeah. I mean, look, I'm not going to keep belaboring the point. There's that point that you said that a lot of these people have been on the track since they was 15, 14 years old. And, you know, but when you're kind of marketing yourself or leaning into a little bit of that energy of, you know what I mean? Like, I'm better than everybody type of energy. And you're using that to sell sneakers or to sell whatever. I can't feel like I'm in the wrong if I want to see more of that in the context of where it is exclusively highlighted. You know what I'm saying? Well, not exclusive. It's just like this is the platform for that, you know? And the thing is, the last point I'll make is, you know, I'm in the unk tier. You know what I'm saying? I'm a man of a certain age. So, like, as we go further and further and further along, the point of reference for some of that energy is not even there. So, like, as these new generations come up, they don't even see, they won't even understand that there at some point would have been a some type of calling for them to be in the dunk contest, some type of anticipation for them to show off their skills on a certain level. It's just going to seem like it's going to be damn near like getting a government job. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know, man. I won't say the NBA is all the way bland, but it's just like it's trending in that direction. It's trending in that direction, and it's kind of whack to see. It's kind of whack to see. So that's just kind of how it feels. Like, damn, you know?
You'll be all right.
Yeah, I mean, shit, I'll be fine. I've seen it. It's still YouTube. I can look at from the clips from the past, but damn. You know what I mean? I'll just instead of watching the fucking the All-Star game, I'll just watch White Lotus live. You know what I'm saying? I'll do that. It's just about the same shit. Bunch of rich mother entitled mother. Nah, let me stop. But I mean, you know what I mean?
But get that's out. What it's become. You know what I'm saying? That's shit. Rap is a bunch of rich niggas.
Yeah, man. It's interesting. I mean, yeah. That's true.
It's going to take another movement of culture. You know what I'm saying? An underswell of new energy injected into all of it. You know what I'm saying? Because right now, everything, they done corporatized everything. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Everything's corporatized. So until there's a few more movements. See, basketball was one thing, and then that movement of hip-hop came in. And then you had niggas like Allen AI. You know what I'm saying? Doing what he do. Then they wanted to clean that shit up, corporatize that shit, and then you get to where we at. It needs shit. The culture needs an underswell of energy as well. The players is only, they only draw energy and inspiration from what the culture give them. If the culture is a bunch of rich niggas just rapping rich shit, doing rich shit, protecting their investment, that's what it's going to be. So,
yeah.
It's things that will happen because niggas will get fed up. Niggas as fed up as you. And people who will do something about it, they will. They'll start doing other shit. And then the league will start looking at it like, well, what the fuck is that?
Right.
Oh, they'll get a new nigga in there that's just off the chain. Something like, what the fuck is wrong with this nigga?
Mm-hmm. A disruptor.
And then the shit starts moving. We just in that era. And that law, we got one era going out, another era kind of coming in, mm-hmm. and it needs a disruptor. Y'all beat the brakes off Ja Morant, so he can't disrupt as much as he used to. But you know what I'm saying? Somebody will without pulling pistols on people.
Yeah, you know it. That kind of brings me to another thought that I had, speaking of disruptors and speaking of just like lulls and maybe the desire to fight, right? And I include myself within this, right? You know, I'm looking at what's going on politically right now, right? Where it's just like, it just seems like the cats are just... We talking about N1, like wilding out, just being in the wild with it. That's what it felt like was going on in the White House, or some oligarchy, like just this own level of fuck it. You know what I'm saying? Like they doing whatever they want to do, and it feels like. It just started to feel like this came to this thought today. It's like, it feels like, particularly, I guess, the left, you know, like the people that are down with MAGA, they excited. You know what I mean? Like some of them are a little, feel like, damn, they catching a brunt or whatever, but there's still a lot of people that are still in the exhilaration of we won, right? But it feels like there's a lot of people like, on the left, whether they're people that voted or people that work in government, you know, except for like a handful that seem to, and this is just my own perception, you know what I mean? Just based on some of how I'm looking at how things are transpiring, but seem to have their like their hands up like, oh shit, what can we do? This is terrible. Look what's going on. Oh, that's illegal. That shouldn't be going on. But and it's like, yo, what is going on? Like, what's going on? Like, there's things that are going on to us. Like, yo, this will be irreparable. Or this will set the country back 50 years. Or this here, oh, yeah, are we just going to cut 100 people's jobs? And we're going to tell them we're going to give them some money. But then we say, you know what? Nah, y'all just fired. You know what I'm saying? Like, it just seems so wild, like, what's going on. And I feel like the reaction has been, like, real. It's like I was just watching this, and it's not exactly the same, but I was watching this little video on Instagram, and this dude slapped this dude. So, like, ah, slapped the shit out of him. First of all, he came in to cut from a slap. We didn't even see the first slap. So we on the second slap. Slapped him. Wow. This motherfucker was just ate that shit. Just not ate it. You know, he was fed the slap. You know what I'm saying? It's different when you eat the slap. He was fed the slap. And dude slapped him again. Wow, I should be fucking you up. You know what I mean? And the dude down, he just kind of looking at him like, why are you slapping me? But he still ain't, he throw his hands up. His hands is like just thrown. Then he slapped him again. Wow, nigga, don't look at me. Look over there. And then it finally cut off. And it was just like, and it kind of be feeling like, yo, what's going on? What the fuck is going on? I feel like it's just, we need some mutiny. Like, I'm not even one to, like, call for the super crazy shit. You know what I'm saying? Especially on the airwaves or whatever. Fuck. But it's like something got to happen. What the fuck is going on? Like, ain't no conversations going on. Nobody, I don't see no, you know how there's point, counterpoint. Ain't no counterpoint going on. This shit is like, it's feeling crazy. And we only a little over a month in. And maybe, you know, I try to like measure my media intake. You know what I'm saying? Because I don't want to get caught up in the hysteria of it all, even if this might sound like it. But I just, you know, I mean, looking at certain shit, I'm like, well, what's going on? So nobody saying nothing? Like, nobody did nothing. Like, when you hear the story, like, if this was, if somebody was telling you, so wait, so what happened then? Nah, then they did that. So wait, what? So they did that? And they did that? Yeah, then they did this. Like, I saw some shit where Elon, they were talking about how Elon gave one of his underlings, like, access to all of the private information or whatever, right? And now they just cocky. They just feeling themselves, right? Because, you know, people been saying, you know, this is ridiculous. This can happen. It's, you know, this is dangerous. You know, people will say all the shit, but they won't, like, it don't seem like they doing much. And maybe there's process, and that's the other thing. It's like, I feel like on one side, people still honor process. On the other side, they like, man, fuck that. So this was what's so funny. You know, obviously, Elon owned X, Twitter, or whatever. This man quote tweeted whoever said something like that, and he was like, this is the cat that's in the Oval Office with Trump, right? Allegedly, not supposedly, now he's not, but allegedly was the head of the DOGE or whatever. Now he's whatever. He's just running amok. This man said, this is the tweet. And this is like, obviously he's not a formal government employee, but he's obviously hobnobbing with the president. He says, bruh. This man said, bruh, comma, if I really wanted your personal information, I could have got that way back with PayPal. Come on now. I said, yo, first of all, fair point. But yo, bruh, like, nah, man, the tone is so lopsided right now. This shit is crazy to me.
They got y'all off. He's like, nigga, the real shit we looking for is this. Y'all talk about some bullshit. Nigga, I could have got your info. I got your info from Twitter.
Man, that shit's so crazy, though. But it feels like Cass is just like, so what we do? I don't know. It's just a lot of no energy. But that's how it's been feeling recently, man. It's just like, yo, what the fuck is going on? I don't know what to call it
on politics, man.
I don't know what to call it either, because I don't know. I realize I'm out of my depth when it comes to civics. Should have paid more attention. You know what I'm saying?
This shit ain't following them rules, nigga.
No, it's not.
The people who did study civics, nigga, they looking at it like, what the fuck is going on? These niggas ain't doing that. They ain't doing none of that, man.
They running ramshot or rupshot, whatever they call that shit. You know what I'm talking about. But they going crazy, dog. Ah, shit. Oh, no. What you gonna do?
Shit is hilarious to me.
You gotta laugh to keep from fucking realizing that all your shit has been compromised. Oh man, it is what it is. It is what it is. Oh shit. Anyway,
how to survive in South Central, nigga.
Dog, man. What's good with you, man? I feel like I've been definitely ranting a lot.
I'm just trying to figure out life, man. You know what I'm saying? Decide on how I want to move, things I want to do. I'm in the, I'm in my LBJ era. Just trying to finish my final seasons, get that shit right. You know what I'm saying? I got some projects that I need to fucking complete. Some dreams I need to fulfill. Shit, you know what I mean? I'm digging more into my Miami stories. We're going to be covering Jazz in the Gardens for City of Miami Gardens, which is that big festival they do every year. I've never been. I've been watching it the whole time, but I've never been. So to be able to, you know what I'm saying, step right into covering it and putting a team together to document it in the way that we document shit, it was like a you know, it felt good, like a compliment that they would even want us to do our art on what they do. You know what I'm saying? So I wanted to do a big ass Just Being Black for Jazz in the Gardens. You know what I'm saying? Show the experience and show how people really love what they, you know what I'm saying, what they get when they get out there. And you know, show it from a perspective of, like, that shit is in my neighborhood. You know what I'm saying? The Hard Rock Stadium is right in the neighborhood I grew up in. So, you know, it feels good to be able to go home and do that. So that's set. So
when is that?
That's March 7th, 8th, and 9th. 8th and 9th for the concert. The 7th, they doing, like, you know, opening events, shit like that. Women's symposium. So we locked on to do that. And that's going to be good because it's just setting up, getting my Miami shit right, you know what I'm saying? And to do it on both ends, from the story perspective, from a governmental perspective, and then, you know what I'm saying, real stories from the street. Like, you know what I'm saying, we can sew that shit up if I really be aggressive and be like the basketball niggas you want to see, but do that shit in my business, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
That's going to be, I feel like that's going to be tight. I'm excited about that. And I'm happy to walk into my own space and do my thing. It's like you left there, you went and learned all this shit, you went and saw all this stuff, you know, met all these people, you know, traveled all around, you know, did stories for all kind of places, and then to come back home and bring that with you, nigga, that's like a fulfillment of the dream. You know?
Mm-hmm, for sure. Ah, that shit sound fly. Come back home game, win that shit, blow it out, you know. And yeah, something that's right there. You said in your backyard, right there where you was at. Mm-hmm. You know, yeah, nah, that's fly. Who's headlining?
I think New Edition.
Oh, okay.
I think Lauryn Hill and Wyclef supposed to perform New Edition. I know Luke's performing. I know Cassidy gonna be there. I haven't looked at the whole lineup, but yeah, those are some of the people that I know gonna be there. So,
that's kind of crazy. I like that. It's fly, like how in the beginning of the career, there's lineups like that, and then like in the middle of the career, when it's like everybody's kind of thriving with their own audiences and stuff like that. And then in the twilight, I guess, towards the end of the career, not the end of the career, but the latter half of the career, the lineups, they come back together. You know what I'm saying? Because it's like, initially I was going to say, damn, you said New Edition, Lauryn, and Luke.
No, man, sound wild. It's a lot. It's a lot of different people.
Of course.
I'm just naming some names that I know.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is to hear them on the same bill sounds wild, but like there were so many bills like that early on in the like early on in careers when people all were like kind of kicking it off and they got one or two records and they, you know what I mean, they touring and then like the NWA, Luke and fucking, I don't know, Run DMC, you know what I'm saying? Like it just like just the medley of it all. And then like it, you know, it's just my own little observation or whatever, but there, that's fire.
Nah, man, that's fire. It's like, you know, the thing about the whole shit is when I look at festivals, to me, a lot of times it don't even matter who on the stage as far as I'm concerned as a storyteller, as an artist, you know what I'm saying? Not a, not a, not a rapping singing artist, but like as a visual artist. It's like when you go to Essence Fest, you know what I'm saying? A lot of times, I mean, some people that's just focusing on who gonna perform, but Frankie Beverly performed down there every year. Mary J performed, after that, Mary J performed down there every year. You know what I'm saying? Because it wasn't necessarily about who all performing. It's about all what we gonna get into when we get there. You know what I'm saying? You plan your vacation a year in advance, knowing you going. Take the days off and all that shit. Don't matter who gonna be on the lineup because the experience. And that's, and I think this particular festival is young in its entirety, but I think when it gets to the point where it's just the experience, that's when it's gonna win, really win. You know what I'm saying? Because you could bring your favorites, you could keep your favorites doing the shit the next 3 years, and but it's all good because I'm going to have a great time and I'm going to do this and I know they're going to do that. And they, you know what I'm saying? So it's about building the experience for me. And that's the way we're going to cover it. You know what I'm saying? How these people going to enjoy whatever it is on that stage. You know what I'm saying? Or whatever it is in the sponsor village or whatever it is in all of the other activations and experiences they have. You know what I mean? It's like when I think Zulu Ball is coming up or just passed. Either way, it's probably one of the best black events I ever been to. You know what I'm saying? And not because who was on stage. It was because you had all kinds of generations. You had old down to the young, you know what I'm saying, in one room. You had rich down to the poor in one room. You had debutantes and society folks, and you had regular-ass folks. All in one room. All the tables, you bring your own shit for your table, your food, your drinks, and all that. So you, however you want to party, that's how you party at your table. Then you could table hop and bounce from this table to that table. It's all good. You know what I'm saying? It's like a big-ass block party. You know what I mean? 20,000 black folks. I was like, man, I really ain't never seen no shit like this. You know what I'm saying? And I would go back just off the experience. I don't give a fuck who gonna perform. You know what I'm saying? I don't even care. It could be the same motherfuckers. Dougie Fresh and Juvenile. And you know what I'm saying? It don't matter. Like, that's not the draw. It's not the performances. The draw is the experience. And you know what I'm saying? That's how I plan to cover Jazz in the Gardens, through the experience.
Yeah. Well, that sounds fire. Jazz, so Jazz at the Gardens wasn't around when you were young.
No. It's probably 15 years old, maybe something.
Oh, okay. I thought you said okay.
It wasn't around. Like it wasn't around when I was
Okay.
Shit, when I was growing up, shit, it wasn't Carroll. It wasn't Miami Gardens. It was Carroll City. It was just Carroll City. You know what I'm saying? Or the neighborhoods like Scott Lake. You know what I'm saying? Where I'm from, Rolling Oaks. You know, everything was kind of like these separate little neighborhoods, generically called Carroll City by anybody who wasn't from there. You know what I'm saying? But then they incorporated it as its own city, and then all that became Miami Gardens. And then somewhere along the line, they developed this festival.
Jazz at the Gardens.
Jazz in the Gardens, yeah.
Jazz in the Gardens, okay.
Yeah. That's what's up. So, and it's produced by the city. Out of Miami Gardens, so you know it's a good deal. I know the Black Promoters Coalition works with them to book talent. I think Live Nation runs the venue. So they all work in concert, but the city's putting it together.
Mm-hmm. I like that there's a Black Promoters Coalition.
Mm-hmm.
That's cool.
Yeah, they do a lot of shit.
Yeah, that's why.
Mm-hmm. I think, oh, this is the 18th annual coming up.
Oh, all right. All right. That's what's up. It's been going on for a bit.
Yeah. Yeah. No doubt.
All right. Yeah, man. What else is going on? Anything else?
That's it, man. Like I said, man, just shooting at the real goals. You know what I'm saying? I'm at the point where it ain't no more conversations about if, when, or what. You got to get to the bottom line right now. You know what I'm saying? I've come, you know, with all these conversations about this shit. You know, once you kind of face death in the face, it's like, man, shit, you got to get all that shit out. Because you don't know when that shit going to be done. And, you know, a lot of people, they trip when I call myself a little half dead or I make jokes about the shit. But I really ain't scared of that shit no more. You know what I'm saying? So I joke about it just to make light of it, but to also remind myself that shit, nigga, get that shit done, man. Get to the bottom line. Get to the motherfucking, get it all out. Like they say, die empty, nigga. You know what I'm saying? Because if I was gone when it was trying to make me gone, I wouldn't have been empty and I wouldn't have been happy about that. You know what I'm saying? So I'm trying to unload the clip, man, and get all the ideas and the dreams and all that shit out, man, before I get out of here. Not that I'm going nowhere, but just in case I do.
Now, when you say you in your LBJ era, you talking LeBron James or Lyndon B. Johnson? Which LBJ was you going for?
I only recognize one LBJ.
Okay.
LeBron.
Okay.
LeBron James.
Okay. All right.
Lyndon B. Johnson.
Like, I mean, that was the OG LBJ.
Yeah, that's like acknowledging Christopher Columbus.
Oh, hey, look, man, I don't know. I just want to declare clarity.
I'm talking about, I'm in that stage of my career where you decide on what's next and how you going to finish out what you got going on. That's all. I'm saying that man 40. It's like KG said, that nigga 40, man. Banged on that nigga. He banged on that nigga, Pete.
That's what he said. I missed that one. I
remember
that
when Kevin Garnett was talking about LeBron dunking on somebody at 40, and he was just saying how we dismissed the greats because we so used to it. It's just like, oh, yeah, he had another dunk. But he's like, nah, nigga, that shit was different, nigga. That nigga 40. He banged on a nigga at 40. And niggas can't respect it because they ain't never banged on a nigga when they was 40. That nigga was emphatic.
I got to see that. Yeah, I got to see that. I think I might have seen it in passing, but yeah, I got to see
because you rarely get seat. You know how the nigga about 7 feet.
KD.
Nigga 7 feet. Yeah. He can't fit in the screen standing up. You know what I'm saying? So the nigga just all out the frame, all out the audio. He banged on a nigga Pete.
Yeah, I got to see that shit. Well, that's it. That was our presentation of In the Conversation. Also, let y'all know March 28th through the 29th, I'm at Brokerage in Belmore, Long Island. June 24th to the 26th, I believe, or maybe June 26th to the 28th, I believe. I'll be in Batavia, Illinois at the good old Comedy Vault again. All these tickets are at DamianLemon.com. We got some new things coming up soon. I should have some dates to announce pretty soon, so stay tuned. So, yo, DamianLemon.com, you get all your tickets to all the shows. I hope to see y'all in there. It's been a good time. Shit. And as always, tell a friend to tell a friend.
And even an enemy.
To get in the conversation. We out.
Conversation.